This next story is about one man's baseball game against cancer. How do we come to terms with our own mortality? Radioactive's Madeline Eubank has more.
Mr. Nimes is sitting out on my porch, watching the sunset and working on the latest New York Times Sunday puzzle. 52 down. Wake-up times, for short. He's proud of the grizzled chin and the head of wispy gray hair he's been growing, a look his friend likes to call the Amish experiment. But his skin hangs off of his bones, like his cigarettes hang off of his lips.
When I get stressed out, which I do a lot of the time, I revert to going out on my deck and lighting up a cigarette.
He reaches for another from his bright yellow pack of American Spirit. As if nature's loudest colors weren't caution enough, the package is plastered with warnings from the Surgeon General. One declares that smoking may cause cancer, but Mr. Nimes doesn't seem to care. Probably because it already has.
And it's a very difficult thing to quit altogether, even though I have a lot of friends saying you gotta stop. But it's almost like a pacifier. I'm not proud of that.
He was diagnosed with throat cancer on
July 5th, 2012. It was determined at that time that I needed a CAT scan, and the person that administered it said, "You hear about your cancer," and I wasn't aware that I had cancer, and she said, "Don't tell the doctor that I told you." Now, there are some people that would be on the internet every day reading about it.
That would be my mom.
I immediately went to the internet and looked up the type of cancer he had, and it didn't look good at all. The survival rate for 5 years was pretty low, but he had a positive attitude about it, and I didn't want to bring up the negative.
So she didn't, because Mr. Nimes didn't want to know.
And I never gave a darn about the medical aspects of things. It's when my car needs to go to the shop, I just say to the mechanic, "Fix it. I don't care what it is." And I feel the same way about cancer.
His upbeat attitude seemed to work. Last January, the cancer looked like it was going away. There was talk of more radiation and then maybe even a surgery to remove the lump in his throat once and for all. It was a miracle that the man to beat such a devastating cancer lived off of Pepsi and potato chips and had smoked since he was 12. But in the next CAT scan, his lymph nodes lit up like Fort Knox, meaning the cancer wasn't leaving. It was getting much, much worse.
I was brought back to real life when the doctor told me that it was never going to go away. I said, "Well, instead of Mount Everest, I'm going to have to find my thrill on Blueberry Hill."
So Mr. Nimes has been going in for more chemo infusions for the past few months, until 3 weeks ago, when he got more bad news. He was too weak for chemo. So tomorrow he's going in to find out, what now?
Are you nervous for your next appointment?
Am I nervous? Mm-hmm. You bet your life. I'm scared to death. For the first time in all my life, I see that I'm mortal.
Mr. Nimes used to have this analogy for his battle against cancer.
Each time I had a treatment, it was like another inning, and I would send out an email suggesting, "Well, I'm now in the seventh inning or the sixth inning," and it was me against Mr. C, as I call cancer. And I'm into extra innings, you might say.
It's fitting, since he met my parents through their softball team. He held the pitcher's mound for more than a decade, until running to first might have popped a lung. So when Mr. Nimes started his chemo treatment, my dad offered up our spare room as his Seattle base. He told me why he thought Mr. Nimes was nervous for his next appointment.
He didn't think forward that this day might come, and now he has to. So it seems to be a different chapter unfolding in front of him, and he doesn't know if it's the final chapter.
Being too weak for chemo was a curveball, and it left me wondering, you know, what does this mean for the game against Mr. C? But Mr. Nimes doesn't like to think that way.
Definitely, like they say in the AA program, one day at a time. And when I wake up in the morning, I say, "I've got another day."
So here's the next day at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. Most of it's waiting around in a lobby full of restless people. Today, Mr. Nimes is dressed in a faded pink Cape Cod sweatshirt. It's a sure sign that he's in a good mood, but he's also walking with a bad limp. And like always, his friend Jim is here.
He's here for every consult. My daughter, I said to my daughter, I said, why? Why is everybody so good to me? She says, Dad, you're a good guy. Who thinks they're a good guy, you know?
It's true. Mr. Nimes lives off of good karma. He adopted his daughter from China. He found a job for his friend Jim. When he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, his bank account was in the double digits, but he lives comfortably in Ocean Park in a house owned by his friend Candy. He drove her to chemotherapy while she battled cancer. Jim and Mr. Nimes lounge in the lobby until finally a nurse calls for John Nyberg, and he is led into a small white room with frightening diagrams. A fellow follows in short order. He asks some questions about Mr. Nimes' overall health since his last treatment.
So I'm extremely tired.
How do you feel like that's been in the 3 weeks off?
Well, you know, it's that whole mind-body spirit thing. I get terribly lonely down there, and I have some anxiety. Because it was made clear to me by Dr. Lynn the last time we talked, I'm going to have cancer for the rest of my life.
The fellow recommends some medication, and Jim writes down what Mr. Nimes will need. Then the fellow says he'll fetch Dr. Lynn, who will tell Mr. Nimes about the plans for his treatment.
Geez, you're getting the full show today, kid. Hello, fellow. Has he graduated from high school yet?
Stop. He probably hears that a lot.
He had the sweatiest palms of any man I've shook hands with in years.
Mr. Nimes cracks jokes to shake the seriousness of the appointment, but this is a moment, a small moment, when his life balances on the edge of a knife. He knows he will face death. It's been made very clear that the odds favor Mr. C. It's only a matter of when. And this 15-minute conversation with his doctor might just determine that.
But I do think now that my mortality is an issue. And what I hope is when that time comes, I will understand what life was all about.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Lynn.
The doctor is in. For Radioactive, this is Madeline Eubank.
I found my thrill.